Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Been thinking about our readings from Sunday. Been thinking about the goodness of God, the lavishness of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God. If you didn't hear my program that I recorded last Friday for Sunday, listen to it again. Listen to it again and again until it penetrates your mind and your heart that God's love for you is lavish, that God will go to all lengths and did. He even gave his only son to die for you so that you might inherit eternal life. I also encouraged you in the Sunday readings to make a clear commitment to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Don't straddle. Don't make a commitment one day and then be unfaithful the next. Of course we fail. Get back up. As long as you keep going in the direction of wanting to be a true son or daughter of God, a real disciple of Jesus Christ, willing to follow him. Brothers and sisters, it's what we so desperately need in the world today, and we need it in this country. We need it in all countries everywhere. But I speak especially to Americans and Canadians right now, to our two countries, and say we need to make a commitment, and it begins with each of us. It begins with each one of us. How deep is your unswerving commitment to Jesus Christ? How deep is it? Doesn't mean you'll be perfect, but how faithful are you to him? Do you repent when you fail? Get back up again and follow him again. Today there is also a call to us, a willingness in us to rather to serve than to be served. You'll see it inherent in the readings today, especially in the gospel. The first reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 7 to 15. Brothers and sisters, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels. We hold the treasure of God being present, of God being with us, of God inhabiting us, of God loving us. We hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We look so ordinary, we all look the same, and yet some of us are carrying an understanding that we're carrying the treasure of God's presence within us. Do you recognize that in yourself? Is it evident to you? Look at yourself every day in the mirror and say, I am a child of God. God dwells within me. May I live that out today. We are afflicted in every way, says Paul, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus. We have to die to ourselves. We have to say no to things in order to be able to say yes to God. Are we doing that? We who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. When I can say no to this entertainment that will lead me in the wrong direction, when I can say no to what I'm listening to another person who I know is going to lead me astray, when I can say no to those things, then I begin to express the incredible treasure that I carry. And I've put it in these words, that sometimes we're like living tabernacles. We are living tabernacles, and we don't know it, and we don't live out of it. We should. You carry Jesus within you if you are in the state of grace. You've been baptized. You receive the Eucharist. You are in a state of grace. Unless you have serious sin that has not been repented for. But if you are right with God, you are in a certain sense a living tabernacle. God dwells within you. Do you live out of that? think out of that, act out of that, relate out of that. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. It's always death to say no to something you want, but you know it isn't right. It's a kind of death. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since then we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke, we too believe and therefore speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. When we sing hymns at Mass, do we really mean them? Do we sing them with our hearts or just with our lips? When we pray the prayers at Mass, do we say, oh, I know this, and we daydream? We're there in body but not in spirit, or do we participate? Do we read the prayers? Do we make those prayers our own? How do I prepare to receive communion? How do I thank God when I've received communion? Am I actively there? Am I present? Am I participating? That's when God could come to you anytime, but that's when God so is drawn to you, when you are attentive. Of course we all get distracted. Of course that happens. But as soon as you recognize it, just turn back. As long as you're doing that, you are in a place where God can reach you. God could reach you anywhere. But when you choose to turn away from God to think about this or do this, even when you're at Mass, if you choose to think about other things, that's your choice, but it takes you away from him. We want to be living tabernacles, because Paul says, if that were the case, then more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. That God is who he says he is, and God has all of this to give us. My goodness, brothers and sisters, I am not exaggerating. This is not a dramatic statement. It's the truth. If we knew who we were, and we worshiped as we were, and we related to others knowing who we were, it would change the world. It really would. And the thanksgiving would overflow for the glory of God. It could happen if we make a choice. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. We do sow in tears. We do when we put ourselves in exile by our sins, when we're fearful, when we're afraid to confess sin, when we're giving in to the lies and the temptations of the devil, and we do. But when we see all that and repent for it and turn back, then we will reap rejoicing, as Psalm 126 tells us. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, people were taken into captivity. Brothers and sisters, we're taken into captivity when we choose to live in sin. That makes us captive. Make this psalm your own. God wants us to know the joy. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves, the harvest, the abundance. Let's really live for God. Let's be who we were created to be. Disciples of Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of the living God. My goodness, brothers and sisters, it would revolutionize the earth. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" And she answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine," listen to this, "sit one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I'm going to drink?" And they said, "Well, more we can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to set at my right and my left, that is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." You see what's happening here? That mother and her sons, James and John, her sons, are captive to worldly values and worldly plans. This mother sees more and more Jesus is important. Okay, if my sons get in there and they really get the positions and the titles, then that will be a good thing. And she is bold enough to go up and ask him for that. And Jesus says, "You do not know what you're asking." Because when we follow Jesus, we also have to drink the chalice of suffering. And most people say, no way. And he says, "Can you drink the chalice?" And they said to him, "Oh, we can, sure. We'll go with you. We can do it." They have no idea what at first they're saying yes to. What are your values? What would you be asking Jesus for? For yourself, for your spouse, for your friends, for your children, for your grandchildren. If you came before God today, and you do, what are you asking him for? Are you asking him for the things that will last for all eternity? They should be first on your list. Yes, ask for good grades in school for your children. Yes, and your grandchildren. Yes, ask for good health. Yes, ask for this and that, whatever the concerns are at the time, of course. But ultimately, brothers and sisters, we should be asking God, do in them whatever you need to do that they will be with you for all eternity. And that takes courage to pray it. And in fact, the other disciples are indignant because they thought they got in there ahead of us and they were bold enough to ask for the place at his right and left, and they asked for privileges and they got in ahead of us, and they're angry. They became indignant. They probably let those two have it too. They're all fighting, and it's because they want the position of honor. They want the title. They want the place. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So he's telling them, he's beginning to tell them, if you want to follow me, if you want to be with me, you have to be willing to suffer, and you have to be willing to die. You have to be willing to serve others. That's what he's saying. And brothers and sisters, that's how we need to come before God. Not ask for whatever needs you have on earth, absolutely, but make your first need, "Lord, whatever you need to do to make me a saint and to make those I love precious in your eyes, do it, Lord. Accomplish your purpose in me." May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.